Dearly beloved in Christ, it is now the beginning of the third week of Lent, and our battle with self turns into a challenge of perseverance. Especially midway, there can be the temptation to slacken our pace or let down our guard. And this is the moment the devil is waiting for, because we know he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So how can we overcome weakening resolve? How can we keep up energy required to be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil? We know that spiritual reading and meditation on the passion and death of our Lord is extremely powerful in helping to ward off all sorts of attacks. When we pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, let us pay special attention to the meditations attached to those decades during this Lenten season. But above and beyond that, we must utilize spiritual books to lend us knowledge and to assist and strengthen our resolve. Of course, the examples of the saints are very helpful as well, specifically because they were well known for their mortification and penance. It would be impossible to conceive of an outstanding follower of Christ who did not practice mortification and who did not consequently carry their crosses. Certainly, they bore the cross with Christ, albeit sometimes they were very heavy crosses. So, the idea of meditating on the passion and death of our Lord is that means to an end, the instrument by which we inspire ourselves, perhaps even moving ourselves to tears of contrition, to persevere, to strengthen our resolve to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this idea is not new at all. No doubt all the saints meditated long and lovingly on the passion of Christ. There's a story of how St. Peter cried tears every time he remembered his betrayal of Christ, after having repeatedly promised he would never abandon Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast day was yesterday, said, "I have learned more from prayer before a crucifix than from all the books I have read." One author specifically talks about the efficacy of meditating on the passion and death of Christ, and I would like to share a section of his writing with you. It's a somewhat condensed version of the reading, and it will also conclude today's sermon. But I hope that this reading will inspire you to meditate more frequently on the sufferings of Christ during Lent and to be filled with a great love and gratitude toward Almighty God. The sacred passion and death of our Lord and Redeemer should be always and for every Christian the nearest and dearest objects of his consideration. There, like out of a living book, we may learn the greatest and most sublime truths which concern us all. There we may learn to conceive a great hatred against sin when we see what pains and sufferings it cost our dear Lord. There we may learn how much he loved us, how far his love has brought him, has fastened him to the cross, and here, in those holy life-giving wounds, we can see the great value of our immortal souls. When we see what a dear and a heavy price our dear Savior has paid for them, redeeming them with his precious blood. But although the sacred passion of our dear Lord should be the object of our meditations and studies all the year round, in that holy season which is set out for the commemoration of our Lord's sacred passion and death, we should with more fervor and love follow our dear Lord in spirit from station to station, from torment to torment, till at last we see him trodden underfoot, lying under the weight of his cross in the dust of the street, hanging and dying upon it in unspeakable pains and torments, in infinite love toward men. Let us, dear brethren in Jesus Christ, in humility and contrition, follow our dear Lord in his sacred passion, and may he, from above, by the intercession of his Blessed Mother of Sorrows, send us the assistance of his holy grace, that we may make our meditations in a true Christian spirit for the benefit of our immortal souls. I'm not going now to speak of the sufferings of our dear Lord, of which his whole life was one continuous chain, sufferings so great, so keen, which were caused to him by the ungratefulness of those whom he came to save, who refused and rejected him, and especially caused by the infernal hatred of his mortal enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees. Let us pass over that all for now and show you our dear Lord at his Last Supper, where he instituted the most holy sacrament, where in excess of love he instituted that mystery of love which heaven and earth, which angels and men, forever will worship in silent raptures of adoration, which the loving heart can feel, but no human, even no angelic mind can comprehend. The priests and leaders of his own people, in ingratitude, are assembled in council, seeking his death, and the heart of Judas, his own chosen apostle, is hardened for the infernal deed of betraying his divine master. And there, in the midst of this surrounding malice and hatred of men, their Savior's heart is burning with a longing desire to pour out himself in infinite love for them and all men to come. With desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you. Oh, how is this ingratitude and hatred of the Jews, and how lost and his lost apostle must have wounded and grieved the tender heart of the divine Lord. But our dear Lord foresaw also the future. He saw how this divine banquet would be the medicine and food for millions of souls in the desert land of their pilgrimage to their eternal home, but how it would likewise seal the ruin of many sons of perdition who would sell him to his adversary for the wages of sin, like his unfaithful apostle. And this thought must have pained and afflicted his compassionate heart. From thence he set forth and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was wont to pray. And there, leaving his apostles, he lay down before his heavenly Father and listened to the prayer of the Son of God. Father, if it is possible, let this chalice pass without I drink it. But not my will, but thine be done. See our dear Lord in his anguish and tribulation. He turns himself to prayer, and his prayer is one of resignation under the holy will of his heavenly Father. An angel appears from heaven to comfort his Creator, but it was the will of his heavenly Father that the chalice should not pass. He should drink it. And now listen, Christian soul, to his lamenting words of desolation. My soul is sorrowful even unto death. That means I could die in anguish and pangs which overwhelm my heart if my divinity were not supporting me to spare me from greater torments. O my Redeemer, my God, what does that mean? What is this? Didst thou not know all the time what was waiting thee? O yes, even in the stable of Bethlehem, even in the midst of the canticles of joy of the celestial spirits, he saw his cross prepared. It was not the fear of pains and torments and of horrors and death. No, the fear and anguish of Jesus, that was a mystery of love. He knew that in spite of the redemption he was to bring many, many would be lost. He foresaw that many would refuse his loving heart and his heaven, which he opened and offered, and would trample underfoot his precious blood and perish and be lost forever, slaves of the devil, cursing and cursed for all eternity. And oh, this grieved, this wounded his tender loving heart. This thought caused him to weep over the unfortunate city of Jerusalem, over the blindness of his chosen people, and this now was the cause of his sorrow. Let us throw ourselves at the feet of our dear loving Redeemer, and in true sorrow and contrition for all sins of our life, Let us raise our hands and our hearts to Him and humbly ask for His pardon and forgiveness. A humble and a contrite heart He will not despise. Let us lay at His feet our firm resolutions concerning the future, to watch and to pray as He exhorts us, that we may not commit a mortal sin again, that we may cling in holy love to Him, our dear Savior, who suffered so much for our sins, who loved us to such an excess of love as to make our sins and infirmities so as to take our sins and infirmities upon His own person, and to make Himself a sacrifice to the divine justice, that we, the guilty, may be spared and live and love Him forever. O dear brethren in Jesus Christ, let us hate sin, which caused the painful agony we meditated upon, and let us love our dear Savior and Him alone. And if you have sold Him by mortal sin, I beg of you, in the name of Jesus our Lord, return to Him before the night cometh, in which no one can work any longer. Accept pardon and forgiveness and peace and happiness, which so kindly and earnestly He offers you. Do not throw away your precious, your immortal soul. Think on the tears and on the blood of your divine Jesus, and meditate on your eternity. O dear Lord and Savior, my God, for the sake of Thy bitter passion and agony in the garden, assist us in our agony at the hour of our death, and let us die in holy love. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.